following program is brought to you in living color.
Just the sort of nonsense that helps perpetuate all this awful snobbery about wine. Isn't it a shame that this wonderful stuff, wine, can be a source of one human being feeling inferior or superior to another? I like big, in-your-face, tannic reds, and that makes me a superior and special kind of person. I mean, please, but the only purpose of this wonderful stuff is to give us enjoyment.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. And now, here's your vintage host, Laura Lawson.
Sounds like fun.
So she's probably paid to say that.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our stretching its little fingers, paws out kind of thinking. Do I want to go ahead and venture into the twiddle grape?
And if it doesn't, what choice does it really have?
Well, it doesn't really have an option unless the rest of us plan on going thirsty for the next year. So it's going to have to get motivated at some point.
Yeah, it's going to have to. What's standing in its way this year?
Temperature, rain. It's just not being cooperative, unlike our groundhog.
So Donald Trump has nothing to do with this at all if a grape decides it just does not want to ripen and come out?
No one caused that. Now, however, I guess you could say it was possible that Trump might have caused it in certain areas of the country.
Really?
Because you know Trump has his own winery.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Well, he has about everything else.
Donald Trump has its own winery.
I did not know that. Where is it?
It is in Virginia.
Really?
I'm really not kidding. And the wines are great.
Really?
Yes.
We must get some.
Yes. I will make sure that you get some on it. They actually do probably the best East Coast sparkling I have ever had.
Now, if you drink it, does it make your hair do funny stuff or any? I mean what's the...
Well, I think if you drink enough, your hair will stand on end before it's said and done. We have
we got enough.
I get enough hate mail. We do not need to get on a soapbox in politics. Let's just leave it at the fact that, yes, Donald Trump does own a winery. The wines are good. It's in the great state of Virginia. And I'm pretty impressed with their offer.
At least I learned that Donald Trump has a winery. I did not know that.
That is my goal today, is to educate a lot of people on a lot of things. That is the hope for today's show. I have some help to do that today. I have Richard Betts joining us. This man has done it all. He is truly a genius in the business. He will wind up being one of the legends. He is a master sommelier. He's founded the winery Betts Scholl. He founded Scarpetta. Now he has a really neat book out. Now this is a man who is a wine expert, and he has come out with the Essential Wine, the Scratch and Sniff book for knowing everything about wine.
It's not called that, is it?
It is. Scratch and Sniff, the Essential Scratch and Sniff Guide to Becoming a Wine Expert. It is a kid's book for adults. So he is joining us today. I can't wait to talk about this.
Please.
But his theory, and I love this quote, I'm going to steal it from him. He wants wine to be regarded as a grocery and not as a luxury. And that is something we preach all the time. It is something you can buy off the grocer shelves.
I thought we were there.
We're getting there. But there's still that little group that holds on to wine as a luxury. And so, yes. So he'll join us, help advocate that concept, discuss his winemaking. And definitely, I'm excited to hear about putting a scratch and sniff book together. This has to be fun. I didn't even know they still made those.
I've had some scratch and sniff stuff here recently, yeah.
I don't want to know.
No, it's not that.
Okay.
It's other stuff.
I just remember as a kid, you'd have little stickers.
Yeah.
You could stick on it. If you're really lucky, it really smelled like pizza. So I'm dating myself. So anyway, Richard Betts is joining us, and it is definitely a very big week in the wine business, and we're going to start a little bit on a serious note with our heavy heads and hand over hearts. A true legend has passed away, Peter Mondavi. I know a lot of people definitely knew who Michael Mondavi was. Peter Mondavi was his brother. Peter Mondavi died at 101 years old.
I saw that. 101.
101. He attributes it to pasta bolognese and a glass of Cabernet every day.
There you go.
And so love that. Peter, honestly, when we look at the past, the present, and the future of the wine business, and we're going to kind of hit on all of those today on today's show, that man did more for the wine business in just the 25 years between 1960 and 1985, then we can have wineries doing for 100 years. Peter was brilliant. He truly was legendary. And he implemented some changes that affect how we drink, how we appreciate wine, and even how wine is created today back then. Truly was a pioneer. Everyone here has heard in one form or the other the story about Peter and Michael. And I don't necessarily want to discuss that. You have a lot of gossip, a lot of rumors, a lot of innuendo. Bottom line is there was a falling out between the two brothers when they took over the Charles Krug Winery. For those of you that want to read the history of Napa, James Conaway book, A Tale of, good Lord, why can't I remember the name of the book? James Conaway, who wrote the Napa book. Oh, God, it's called Napa. There we go. Yeah, I need a little more
right
caffeine.
In your face.
Does a great rendition, talks a little bit about the history. Good source for it. But once the two split, Peter Mondavi continued to run Charles Krug, which was their family winery. And Charles Krug, in his tenure there, first and foremost, Peter was the first vintner in the United States to take a look around at what we had been doing in the wine business. A lot of the big wineries, when we were focused on jug wines and inexpensive wines, they had used redwood tanks to ferment. Peter is the first American who had French oak barrels imported to actually put the wine into French oak, ergo giving it that refined flavor, giving it more elegance. There's a big difference between something that tastes like French oak and definitely tastes like redwood. Something else, he did have that science background where his brother was flashy, the marketing, the businessman. Peter was the one who sat back, studied everything, and he did two things as a winemaker and a vintner that make a huge difference today. First is cold sterile filtration. This kept wines from oxidizing. It kept wine from getting bacteria in it. It kept wine fresh. And, of course, cold fermentation. And with cold fermentation, it's something that is used today all over the world. It simply keeps your white wines crisp and fresh and from getting oxidized. So you put those three things together, and that within itself makes him legendary. Absolutely amazing. There's not a winery that is operating in the United States right now that at some point doesn't have to factor in one of those three things, whether it's the oak barrels, whether it's cold fermentation or cold filtration. Add to it the fact that he was visionary enough. There's a lot of people that claim credit for Carneris and the region of Carneris, but Peter was one of the very first people to go ahead and plant Pinot and plant Chardonnay in the Carneris district. As we all know now, that is definitely the place to have Chardonnay. It's definitely the place to have Pinot Noir. So he definitely was ahead of his time and definitely, again, truly a visionary in the business. I will say this, and this is absolutely amazing to me. He simply retired last year. The man worked till he was 100 years old, and at 100 years old decided, I guess it's time for me to retire. So hats off to him. Sorrow definitely with his children, his grandchildren, and of course, a very sincere thank you for everything he has done to make what we do today in the wine business great. He's the reason we can look around and hope that one day wine will be a grocery and not a luxury, because he went out on a limb and tried to do some different things. So, in memorial and in passing, Mr. Peter Mondavi. So we decided we were going to discuss the past, the present, and the future on today's show. So we're going to have fun. Obviously, touching on what Peter has done is talking about the past. Here's what's at present, and this is where your education is going to come in today. Occasionally on the show, you will hear us discuss AVAs, A, V as in victory, A, American Viticultural Areas. And these are things that were created back in 1980. And in 1980, the government, under petition from a lot of people, decided that we need to have very specialized, acknowledged regions. Not necessarily the state of California, not necessarily just the United States, not necessarily just a county, but something that could differentiate where a grape is grown from other areas. Ergo, AVA was created. And they have been growing steadily since 1980. It seems to be a feast or a famine with it. All of a sudden, you'll have 20 new AVAs pop up, and the next year, you can't get one passed for anything. So we have a brand new one. It is the La Mirinda Viticultural Area, and it is entirely in Contra Costa County in California. It is also located entirely within the San Francisco Bay and Central Coast Viticultural Areas. So what does that mean to you? Why do you care? That means that hopefully you'll be able to go to your local Mega Mart instead of seeing something like Santa Clara, San Francisco Bay, Russian River. You will see La Mirinda area, L-A-M-O-R-I-N-D-A. And judging from where it's located, it's considered, like I said, it's coastal. So I think this should be a really good area. It'll be fun to see who's the first one to put it on a label, and it'll be great for you to check it out and see what's good about it. So encourage you wholeheartedly to do that.
Now, I'm still asking the question, though. What does this down the road mean to me?
All right, down the road. What this means is, for those of you who are trying to study for your Master Sommelier, for those of you who sincerely want to endeavor on being a wine expert, it means your life is going to get more difficult. Because even though we just started this in 1980, at the end of last year, there were 230 AVAs in California. I am sure this now makes 231, and probably by the end of the year, we may be sitting at 260. What an AVA is, it is very specific. It tells you that geographically, this grape has been grown at some place that can be quantified like no other in the United States. It is saying the Russian River is totally different than Dry Creek Valley. It is saying that geographically, there is something in the climate, there is something in the soil, there is something in the aspect that separates it from its neighbor. So if there's a certain type of grape, say you like grapes that are from mountain fruit, or say you like grapes that are from Napa Valley, this helps you slowly learn more about what you're drinking. It helps the label give you more information.
Okay.
That's what that means for you. Hey, we're going to take a quick break right here. When we get back, I will probably touch a little bit more on AVAs, and we'll talk a little bit more about the future of the wine business.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. That's 800-281-7048.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right before the break, we were announcing the brand new AVA La Mirinda coming to a label near you. And it's interesting the things that can crop up from a conversation like that. So during the break, people were very excited and asking me other questions about an AVA. And I have to admit, it's something that I do take for granted. Okay, by definition, legally, it is the Alcohol Tax and Tobacco Bureau that create this. The government does create the AVAs. I know that there are some people who probably have issue with that, and it is interesting to see how they get petitioned and see how they get done. But ultimately, TTB takes charge. They're the ones that can announce the proclamation. An AVA doesn't have to be a set size. It actually doesn't even necessarily have to be contiguous. I think the
can it be like one vineyard that small?
We are not at that point yet, but there are some that are as small as 0.6 acres.
Yeah.
There is also one, I think it's the Mississippi River Basin, that's 29,000 square miles. Mm. It just has to be quantifiable. This is, I think criteria goes like this. The name is known. And what that means is I can say, oh, well, I was down in La Mirinda area, or I was down in Contra Costa, or I spent the day driving around Dry Creek. It can't just be a fanciful made-up name. You just can't say, oh, well, I like that hill over there. I'm going to name that Kent Bernhardt Hill, and no one know what it is. It has to be acknowledged. It has to be recognized. I mean, regardless of where you think the boundaries are, I think everybody has probably heard of the Mississippi River Basin.
Right.
Ergo, there's that. Second, the boundaries have to be legitimate and they have to be defendable. A good example, Napa County. Napa County, there are set boundaries. It is defendable. It is a county. It also has to be able to be delineated. Dry Creek, the area where the creek is dry. The Dry Creek goes through the Dry Creek area. Things like towns, you know, Sonoma, the actual town of Sonoma. It gets furry when you start getting on things like North Coast. It gets furry when you start looking at things. What's a good one? I'm embarrassed. I think the AVA is called, I know the wine from up there is called Mariah. There is an AVA in California that is designated by height. It is, you have to be 2,200 feet from ground, and it's the tops of the mountains. But you can only claim the AVA after you get up the 2,200 feet. So there is a little bit of whimsy in this, but honestly, I think if you sat down with a lawyer who's creating it, they could sit down and argue every single reason of why this AVA exists.
I hate to ask a silly question, but why is this a government function?
Honestly, the question always comes up when we're debating this. Who else is going to be able to unilaterally declare something? And the thing is, American AVAs, it's not going to fall to the state to do it. Because you have multi-states, the Mississippi River Basin covers four states. So it has to be on an overreaching national level. And then past that, you really want to see people get in a fist fight. So whether Monterey County, Monterey City, or Monterey Town is going to do it. So the government's the one that can impact it. What's interesting, though, is the very first AVA. Everyone would think it would be something like Napa. They would expect it to be Sonoma. Nope, the very first AVA was declared in 1980. You want to guess?
Not California?
Not California.
Hmm.
The very first AVA declared was Augusta, Missouri.
All right.
Yes.
Go Augusta.
Well, no, honestly.
Why was it Augusta, Missouri?
When you look at the Missouri River Basin, you look at Ohio, this is where Hazarsky and all those, this is the very first grape growing serious area in the United States. I mean, California is an upstart when it comes to looking at the East Coast and it comes to looking at the Ohio River Valley and the Missouri River. So, yes, the very first one declared in 1980. I have to admit, I have not seen a bottle of wine with Augusta on it, probably ever. But nevertheless, it is one of the 231 AVAs that exist. And keep in mind, they can be in any state, anywhere, and all someone has to do is petition to actually have their AVA declared. Now, granted, it takes a while. It can take, I think I read somewhere, it took 15 years to get Paso Robles actually declared as an AVA. But nevertheless, if you're persistent, you have the wherewithal, you too can have your own AVA. We're going to have a quick break right here. And when we return, we're going to have Mr. Richard Betts joining us for the Essential Wine Scratch and Sniff conversation.
Why are you so into Pinot? I mean, it's like a thing with you.
I don't know. It's a hard grape to grow. It's thin skin, temperamental, ripens early. It's, you know, it's not a survivor like Cabernet, which can just grow anywhere and thrive even when it's neglected. Nah, Pinot needs constant care and attention.
Travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. That's 800-989-0233.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy
backsplash. I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I
want
to be
a...
I want to be
a... I want
to be a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life.
Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
It's the Wine Crush.
I got a letter from your lawyer today, ordering me to sign my life away. Instead of signing on the dotted line, I poured myself another glass of wine.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush, and right now I am very excited about our guest. We have Mr. Richard Betts. He is the founder and the winemaker and the man behind the Essential Scratch and Sniff Guide to Becoming a Wine Expert. Richard, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Are you kidding? This is my pleasure. You are truly, you have had your hands in just about everything. If there was someone we had ever had on The Crush who had done a little bit of it all, whether it was working in a restaurant, being a sommelier, being a master sommelier, going ahead and writing a book and making wine, you have definitely checked all the boxes.
Right on. I'm an ambitious kid, I guess.
Ambitious kid or just a short attention span? One of the two. I guess we'll have to figure it out as the show goes on.
Everyone that knows me would say short attention span.
All right, perfect. Well, we'll try and keep shiny objects away from you. All right, yeah. Obviously, I'm just because I am old and salty, I love the idea of talking about your book. But before we get to the book, why don't you give our listeners an insight into Richard Betts, who he is, and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, okay. You know, it's the long story made short. Went to school for geology and really wanted to do environmental law. Worked my way through a grad degree in essentially hydrogeology. I was on my way to law school and I blew it all off to get into food and wine. And first job was actually flipping eggs, which I loved. And then read, taste. Fast forward, you get your first somm job, then you get your second somm job. And somewhere along the way, you know, that little piece of me that wanted to do environmental law, you know, keeps knocking, not because I wanted to spend my time doing that, but because, you know, there was a desire there to give back or contribute, you know, and that idea really, when it came to food and wine, found its satisfaction in hospitality and in taking care of people and helping make people's days better, right? You know, they've spent all day working on whatever they work on, but then they come to you at night and it's, you know, I really found joy in helping people enjoy themselves. And that became became the overarching idea for how I approached really everything I do in wine and spirits now. So passed the Master Sommelier exam, felt like I got to do that, and then thought, well, it's one thing to get busy studying, and another thing to get dirty actually making the stuff. So we started our first wine company, and then our second wine company. We sold them both in 2009, sort of mezcal company along the way, and that's Sombra Mezcal, and we're pushing really hard on that. It's working, which is great. That's 10 years old now. You know, 10 years ago, that was a different day for mezcal. People thought I was selling mescaline. They didn't understand mezcal is actually a real thing that you really ought to be drinking. And then started another couple wine companies, but with this idea that, you know, the giving back part, and how do you knock wine off the pedestal and make it approachable and you know, make it democratic. And so I have this ism that wine is a grocery, not a luxury. And I wanted to make good on that in a number of ways. And we do it with some of the wines we make. You know, if you got $20 in your pocket on a Tuesday night, I'm your date. And we did it also with the Scratch and Sniff wine book, you know, in a number of ways. But the book is, it really has resonated with people because it really helps people understand it's up to you. I mean, don't drink something because I said you should drink it. You know, drink something because it's going to make you smile. And this is a very easy way to figure out what's going to make you smile. And ultimately, I think that should be everyone's most lofty ambition for every day they wake up. You know, you got to smile. Whatever it is that does that, figure it out and do it.
Well, I certainly would agree with that. If I can't smile at my wine, hopefully I'll smile at the company. And if I can't smile at either one, maybe I'll drink enough so I'll just start giggling randomly. So I do adopt that philosophy when we approach things. All right, so you've done a little bit of everything. You have, certainly not come close to reaching the peak yet. But having had all this diversity in your background, what made you decide to create a Scratch and Sniff kid/adult book? I mean, obviously, it's one of those things that's a lot of fun. Yes, it's something different, but I bet the creation and the coming together of this was absolutely hysterical.
Oh, it was super fun. I mean, it started very, very late one night on a ski trip, actually, and with a bunch of friends, and everyone else had petered out and gone to bed, except for myself and another friend, Chris Acca. We'd gotten a little rowdy, as we do, and done a wine tasting for everybody, and you know, everyone's crashed and done. And he's like, "Man, that was so fun! You know, how do we take that and scale it? You know, how do we do that for more people? We should write a book." And he's like, "Yeah, but you know, there's so many good wine books out there, and you know, and a lot of them are just big tomes that no one ever reads, anyways. And I don't, you know, there's nothing new to contribute to that. So, you know, it's not really a thing. What if we make it Scratch and Sniff?" And you know, that was a genius moment, you know, born at about 3 a.m.
I was about to say, there's 2:30 a.m., 3 o'clock a.m., and a lot of alcohol put away at this point.
A lot of things put away at that point. And then, you know, I worked on it for about, well, I can tell you, 4 years. On and off while you're running all your other businesses. And then it finally came to life with two great partners, Wendy McNaughton, the illustrator, and Chris Langlish-Sacker, the art director. And it was a blast. You know, it was really fun to be able to take this methodology that you know, lets you understand why a wine tastes the way it does. You know, what are the three, what are the three factors that account for most of what you taste, which is actually smell, in a wine, and then, you know, break those down, isolate them, show people what they smell like, and then reassemble them to help people say, okay, I like X, Y, and Z, and then it points directly at what wine you should drink. And it's for sure the coolest thing I've ever made, you know, that wine wheel in the back of the Scratch and Sniff book.
It would have been so much. It would have been just great to see the publisher or see whoever you were working at to try and get the smells to go into the Scratch and Sniff. No, that's wrong. No, that's not wrong. I bet you drove some people nuts.
Oh, for sure. You know, and as many things are these days, the books are made in China. So, you know, working with the publisher, Houghton Mifflin, they would have I say, okay, so we need popcorn, vanilla, you know, whatever the list of scents were. And they say, okay, great, here they are. And they send to me, like, okay, well, that doesn't smell like vanilla at all. And that doesn't smell like popcorn. It needs to be more like this, more like that. And so we would have weekly FedExes going back and forth between us and the production team in China, trying to make these things. And in the end, we got it dialed in. But it was definitely a process.
Well, at least you got it. Definitely a great tool for people to go pick up, for people to learn. And it's great because I want to get into this in a second, but you help give people a common language. Hey, Richard, we got to take a quick break right now. When we come back, I'd like to pick up on the thought of what the scratch and sniff will do for the next generation and also talk a little bit about the language that went into the book.
Perfect.
All right. Small break on the crush. More of Richard Betts when we return.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
If you suffer from heartburn or other digestive-related disorders, then there is a new, safe, better, and natural alternative to better digestive wellness and heartburn relief. Praxid not only provides relief of heartburn, but Praxid takes a 360-degree approach to support better digestion, protect you from harmful bacteria, and also balance your stomach to improve digestive functions.
We like to think of it as the multivitamin of digestive health.
It's the only product to combine all natural ingredients known for the digestive health properties into a single patented product. Praxid also comes in easy-to-carry packs. Praxid relieves, restores, and maintains a healthy digestive system. Praxid is available here for only $39.95. Shipping and handling is free, and your money back is guaranteed.
To take advantage of this special radio offer, call now 1-800-829-5735. That's 1-800-829-5735. Again, 1-800-829-5735.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Call OnCall Pharmacy right now and save as much as $700. 800-884-7919. OnCall Pharmacy delivers the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Call OnCall Pharmacy now and take advantage of this special offer. 800-884-7919. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
It's The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, we are having a wonderful, enlightening conversation with Mr. Richard Betts, man around town, man about wine, but the man behind the Essential Scratch and Sniff Guide to Becoming a Wine Expert. All right, Richard, we were having some fun discussing the ideas of getting these smells into the book, but this is something that I think, believe it or not, you're on the cutting edge. Because I think one thing that we all miss when you get a whole bunch of wine geeks around, whether it's 2:30 in the afternoon, 2:30 at night, we all have a different way of approaching wine. We all have a different language. It's not like there's one set vocabulary like there is for tech or mechanics or boats or cars. But if you can put something like this together and say, this is popcorn, this is vanilla, this is what malolactic fermentation can smell like, I think you're on to something of being able to revolutionize the way we hold conversations.
Yeah, well, thanks. I mean, importantly, the things that we're throwing out there, it's not wine speak. You know, you're using terms that are part of our everyday vernacular. You know, people know what popcorn smells like, and we know what strawberries smell and taste like. And that's the key, you know, all the specialized terms, those, you know, those just serve as a barrier, and they're exclusive. And it's really all about being inclusive if this is going to be fun and if it's going to grow appropriately. So that's the whole point.
Well, the question becomes, obviously you could do volume one, volume two, volume three. There could definitely be a whole series on this. How many smells got thrown out of the first volume? You're like, I just don't have enough room. No, this isn't working.
You know, we didn't really struggle with that too much. You know, it was, how many do we need to tell the story and help people develop their own story? And it's right where we ended up. The only one that we didn't include was TCA, trichloroanisole.
What, you couldn't get that together in one little smell?
You know what? We could, and then we were told that it would infect first the whole book and then your whole house, and then it would just be horrible. So we thought that was probably not a great idea.
Well, from the rest of us, thank you very much for that, because, yeah, I can see where it would overwhelm things. All right, having totally. This under your belt and having done this, what's next for you? You've had your own wine. You've made your own book. You're a sommelier. You have worked both sides of the table. You're messing around with the spirits industry. What are you going to do next? How are you going to elevate who Richard Betts is, and how are you going to elevate the rest of us in the wine world?
We're going to do three things. The first thing we're going to do is make Sombra just a great, big, wonderful, giant mezcal brand in the best way. And that's to say that it's so, you know, we're really the progenitors of the category with Del Maguey. The two of us were the first people out there. Vaughn was the first guy out there. And when we joined him, people still didn't know what we were doing. And it's a tiny, you know, couldn't call it an industry. It's a tiny little thing. And it's growing. And so if it follows even a small percentage of tequila's trajectory, it's going to be a great big category. But the thing that we're trying to do with Sombra is lead the way and make sure that it grows responsibly. And this is to say, like, it's really romantic to go down there and think, well, you know, these are made exactly as they were 600 years ago. And like, wow, on the surface, that's great. And then you look around and you're like, well, you're wasting all this fossil fuel and you're putting a whole bunch of CO2 into the environment. And, you know, I guess you've always done this down by the river, but then all the wastes run in the river and then you kill all the fish. And then there's another village downstream from you. And then the 600 years of tradition doesn't look so charming anymore, does it? So it's important to lead the way and create, you know, a sustainable industry that allows for Oaxaca to thrive, allows for everyone involved in the process to thrive, and paves the way for this to be done responsibly and create a long future. So that takes a lot of time. We push on it all day, every day. And, you know, and I'm very proud that Sombra is the brand that's leading the way to do that. You know, it's important to do good while you're trying to do well. You know what I mean?
I do. And that it's great because, see, this way you found a way to give back to the environment, to give back to the earth, and you didn't have to go through law school.
Exactly. Totally.
You're a master at escaping that. My hat's off to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And then we're pushing hard on our two wine brands. One is called An Approach to Relaxation. It really is the whole long title. And I do that with my wife-to-be, Carla Rzewski, where we make wine from a single Grenache vineyard in South Australia. It's almost, well, it's nearing 100 years old next decade, and grows in sand. It's unrooted. It's totally fertile, and it's an amazing spot. I think it produces one of the most beautiful wines in the world, and, you know, Australian wines aren't on the tip of everyone's tongue these days. But we don't care, you know. It's we think this is something very special, and if no one else drinks it, we're going to drink it all. You know, we're prepared to do that. But that said, you know, we just released our first vintage, and every town we go to, it sells out in a day. So we think we're going to have some people that embrace the vision as well, which is nice. And then the other one brand is called My Essential. So we make My Essential Rosé and My Essential Cabernet, and that's the rosé we make in Provence, the cab we make in California, and we're very much hoping to grow this and share this with as many people as possible. One, because we can, and two, because we think the wines are great and they punch above their weight and they're cheap, and that's the whole thing. You know, I'm a big believer that wine should be on the table at lunch, at dinner, every day, and not to excess. You know, I mean, for sure, we all have those moments. But, you know, have a glass of wine. It just makes your whole life better. And that, again, that's back to the gift of helping people enjoy their lives. And so we're trying to make the party favors that allow that to happen.
You are making the elements that make life good. You are truly going to adopt the whole concept of drinking something that will make you smile one way or the other. And I think it's great. And I'm excited to have had you on The Crush. And I'm very much looking forward to having you back and seeing what the next big thing is that comes to fruition for Mr. Richard Betts.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
All right, Richard. Well, thank you so much for being part of The Crush. And I am sure that you and I will be talking again soon. For the rest of you, we're going to take a quick break on The Crush, and when we return, we will wrap up today's show and get a handle on what fun things we'll be having coming up for the next few weeks.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
An adult elephant can weigh up to 6 tons. The average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life.
800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. That's 800-915-9734.
The IRS is the most feared agency in the world. You've heard ads from other companies offering to help taxpayers only if they owe over $10,000. Here at Platinum Tax Defenders, we're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and we're proud to be one of the only tax firms in the country who understands that people who owe less than $10,000 need help just as badly. The IRS doesn't care how much money you owe. They'll still garnish your wages and even seize your assets. So whether you owe just a few thousand dollars or hundreds of thousands, call now for your free tax consultation. If you qualify, we may even be able to reduce your tax debt down to a small fraction of what you owe. So don't wait until the IRS seizes your property and garnishes your wages. Call 800-856-1330 and get your tax problem resolved once and for all. That number again is 800-856-1330. 800-856-1330.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. That absolutely fabulous gentleman was Mr. Richard Betts, founder, winemaker, the man behind My Essential Wine, also the man behind the Essential Scratch and Sniff Guide to Becoming a Wine Expert. And he is the one I was referring to when we're discussing the past, the present, and the future of wine today. The past, obviously, again, wonderful memorial, wonderful testament to the legend of Peter Mondavi. So much he gave to all of us in the business. The present, of course, is the new AVA that's being created. Every day in our lifetime, we are looking at something new and exciting about wine. And the future of the business is gentlemen like Richard Betts, who can see something like wine and make a statement that wine should be a grocery and not a luxury, that wine should be at the table at lunch, it should be on the table at dinner, that it should be inbred into the fibers of our being. And to do something like the Scratch and Sniff book, I think that's brilliant. Because that is what the future of wine needs. We have touched on it so many times on The Crush, whether it's with people like Rob McMillan from the Silicon Valley Bank, whether it's with winemakers, whether it's with chefs. We don't have a common language. We have a lot of dialects. We have a lot of different ideas, but we stem a lot of misunderstandings from not really having a baseline. And if it takes a scratch and sniff book, if it takes something as simple as having a smell of jasmine, a smell of vanilla, a smell of cork taint to put in front of us to have that aha moment, then let's find a way to do it. Because this is how we're going to grow, and this is how we're truly going to get to a point where wine is not that commodity, that it's not a luxury, that it's not something that is lorded over us, but rather is something we don't think twice about. And when I say you don't think twice about wine, I mean that in a good way. Not that you ignore it, but that you just take it for granted that it's going to, what was it Richard said, give you something to smile about. And I think that is the purpose, the end goal we're trying to do. If you have to overthink something, if you have to sit and worry about something, if you have to worry if you've selected the right bottle, if it's the right temperature, if you have the right glass in front of you, is the wine good? Is the wine bad? If you have to put all that together, then you're not going to have a lot to smile about as you sit down and open the bottle. There never should be anxiety on opening a beverage. It's just that simple. You should be able to relax. You should be able to enjoy it. And that is what we need to see from the future of the wine business. That needs to be the next major innovation. Exactly what Richard said, to drink something that will make you smile. As always here in The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.